We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Hello everyone and welcome back guys to a brand new podcast where today we're here back with episode 42, I think now, Jamie, of Knowing Wheel. Yeah, episode 42, of course. If you missed out on last week's podcast, obviously we looked at the Haas reveal and of course Lewis Hamilton being back in Formula One as well. You know, he's come back to Twitter. It's a wonderful one. I don't think actually since then he's tweeted anything else, has he, Jamie?
No, but he tweets very rarely anyway when he's
exactly
in normal times, so not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think there's such thing as normal time for Lewis Hamilton, is there?
I suppose, but yeah.
Yeah, of course, as you would have already heard then, Jamie is back once more this week. Anything exciting has gone on in your world, Jamie?
I watched the Super Bowl last night. That was fun.
Oh, is that why you're so tired?
That's why I'm horrifically tired. So
right, okay. Yeah. What time did it finish out of interest?
3 a.m.
Oh, fair enough.
And I was so in town, so I had to cycle home.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Cycle home at 3 in the morning.
Yep.
it's a whole different world in the north, I tell you what. But yeah, of course, as always, though, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you can see our wonderful faces, hello, everyone. Obviously, as always, there'll be links down below to the Spotify playlist. You know, if you want to go check it out on there, help support the channel and the podcast, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. As well, of course, as always, F1 merch and new lines have been released. The 2022 McLaren replica set has now been dropped, as well as the Ferrari stuff. And then there's also a Puma edition, which features lines from Red Bull, Mercedes, and as well as Ferrari as well. So yeah, go check all those out on the F1 store. There will be a link down below. And obviously, if you use that link and buy some merch, you'll help out the channel. As well, of course, you know, looking the part is all very, very important, you know, in all your 2022 merch. But you've got to feel it as well. And sometimes that starts underneath the clothes. So that's why today we're proud to announce, Jamie, that Knowing Wheel has picked up a sponsor. Yes, today, as you can probably tell by my top, we have been proudly sponsored by Manscaped, who is one of the best below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Just over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WHEEL. Yes, that's an exclusive code for us down at manscaped.com. I think, yeah, if my maths is correct, Jamie, that's 8 million balls have already been helped by Manscaped.
Yeah.
We've both been using their products. They actually did send us out both a kit to try out for you guys as well. Jamie, you've been a fan, actually, of the Weed Whacker, haven't you, so far?
Yeah, very good. My I can breathe much easier now. My nose isn't full of hair.
Yes, yeah. a very, very cool nose and ear trimmer. I've been using the Lawnmower 4.0, and genuinely, it has actually been a game changer for me. Massively reduces the cuts of nicks and things like that, you know, downstairs. And something that I was genuinely surprised by that I didn't think would be as useful as it has been is the little torch on the front. I've genuinely been surprised with just how useful that's been when you're trying to work out down there. But yeah, like we mentioned though, get 20% off and free shipping with the code WHEEL at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped. And yeah, use code WHEEL, unlock your confidence, and as always, use the right tool for the job with Manscaped. So, of course, yeah, though, Jamie, we've got plenty to get through this week. It's kind of a weird hybrid podcast episode. Of course, today at the time of recording, the all-new AlphaTauri AT03 has been launched. Then, of course, you know, it's Monday, Tuesday when you guys are listening to this. We've got a bit of a weekly roundup as well. Not too much to get to. We kind of had all the excitement a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, Jamie? And then since then, it's just been sort of weird little bits and pieces here and there. But yeah, AlphaTauri launched their car this morning. Safe to say it was a little bit of a mess, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It was seemed very disorganized. They promoted it was going to get released at 11:30 a.m. It was then actually the live stream started at 11, which took me by surprise. And then at the start of the live stream, Pierre Gasly just tweeted the whole car.
Yeah.
So it was very. I didn't watch the stream. I don't know if you did.
I was at work. Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to watch. I saw little clips of it on Twitter afterwards. But yeah, I mean, Gasly, I don't know what it is about Pierre Gasly, but he just seems like the kind of guy that wouldn't get how social media works.
Yeah, weird,
I don't know
it?
Why he gives me that vibe, but he seems like the kind of guy that would ask someone, what's a Facebook?
Yeah, it seems very much like he doesn't really know anything other than Instagram stories, which I'm sure he does himself. But yeah, the car itself, my initial reaction to it was not that good. I think the colour, certainly in the pictures that they released immediately, I didn't like the colour very much. It was seemed a bit lighter tones than last year, and I liked last year's car quite a lot. The actual like design of the livery I do quite like, especially the side profile. The front I'm still not too keen on, but it's definitely improved on me over the last like 3 or 4 hours. So yeah, what are you feeling towards it?
Yeah, I was very much in the same boat as you. I sort of saw the pictures originally and thought, oh, not a fan of that. But looking at it a bit closer, I'm vibing with this thing. It's up there with Aston Martin in my eyes, at the very least. Yeah, I mean, AlphaTauri, I think they're, what, the only team on... I mean, it's a very short lifespan for a team so far. But the only team on the grid that's done 3 banging liveries so far in Formula 1, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess... up to the debate if you'd call this one banging or not, but it's definitely decent.
I would argue now, I would genuinely think this is a banging livery.
Fair enough.
I think it's up there in different gravy sort of calibre. I can't lie to you, Jamie.
We've got the Flexbox sponsorships back on the front wing, which is
yes!
A throwback to 2015 Manor Marussia.
Yep, the only company that decided they would... I mean, they must have thrown Manor about £6.50
yeah,
to get the logos on the side of the car. Yeah, but great to see Flexbox back again. And yeah, I think for us, it's just a whole lot of nostalgia, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
You know, that brings back the Manor days as well. But yeah, like you said, side profile looks very, very good. Not sure I'm a fan of the Tauri being bold in AlphaTauri.
That's just their logo, though, isn't it? The second half is always bold.
Bolder, yeah, but it seems too bold this year.
It's sort of like, I don't like how asymmetric it seems, but... I guess that's their marketing, so they're going to stick with it, aren't they? But yeah, I think I would prefer the Aston Martin over this and the McLaren. In my opinion, I like the McLaren a lot.
I was going to say, yeah, we definitely will agree to disagree there.
But I do think it's good. I'm sure on track it will look really nice as well. I think the colours and the tones look worse in renders than they will do on track.
Yes, yeah. Well, obviously, again, I mean, always for me now, I think back to the Williams last year. Because that thing looked egg in the promo shoots they did. And
awful.
Then it got on track in Bahrain, and it looked brilliant. I pretty much immediately fell in love with that thing.
Until it
got
into
the
wall at Abu Dhabi. But...
Yeah. Yeah. That was... that. The less talked about that, the better, I think, Jamie. But looking around, obviously, again, you know, I think Flexbox are the only sort of new sponsor we can see on the car. Obviously, sponsored by Phantom again. Which Pierre Gasly uses, obviously, to shill his NFTs, which is always quite funny. Again, he seems like the kind of guy that was just told he can make a few grand off NFTs.
Yeah,
no idea how they work.
Well.
Epicor as well, I don't think we've seen them on the car, and then
and
I do love...
The Italian flag is back, I don't know if you're about to say that.
Yes, I was literally about to say that. We've got Italian flags on the end of the front wing, and then also on the rearview mirrors, or the side mirrors as well. Looking at the car, though... Again, we don't know whether this is the actual 2022 car they're going to use or not, do we still, Jamie?
I'd be surprised if it is, since they're run by the same organisation as the Red Bull, obviously.
But they've gone very different ways in recent years. And this is an important thing to talk about with AlphaTauri, isn't it? Because they're using less and less Red Bull parts that they can even take over anyway. They're using a lot less of them more recently.
Yeah, like listed parts are becoming less and less common anyway because the FIA are cutting down on them, but... Even so, they're definitely their own standalone team, as they kind of always were with Minardi back in the day. So, and it tends to be interesting, actually. Like, they're more similar to the Mercedes than the Red Bull in terms of feel and suit of the car. I remember there was a few years ago, like, Toro Rosso engineers were annoyed that Mercedes had copied their design, and it's like, is that how it works? I'm not quite sure, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see how different it is compared to the Red Bull.
Yes, yeah, and I think this is always important because AlphaTauri had quite often last year been one of the very quick cars through the speed traps. Mm. They seem to always have a little less downforce than Red Bull anyway in a slightly different design philosophy, which obviously I guess you can use because obviously it then means if it works, Red Bull can try and adopt parts of it. You know, they can probably try and
take
risks.
It's like you get two rolls of the dice if you've got two teams almost, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so we're not really 100% sure yet about whether this is the finalised car for 2022. The side pod profiles look very, very similar to the Red Bull, though, don't they? And, of course, that wasn't the 2022 car. So we're really not too sure what to expect in that regard. But, again, not a fan of the wheel rims. I don't know why every team has done awfully with the real rims
the
so far.
The AlphaTauri wheel rims last 2 years have been so nice as well, painted
white. I mean... whitewashed wheel rims on this thing would still work very well.
Yeah, it would. I don't know why they've got it against that. But
I don't think any teams... Well, I mean, McLaren did a little bit with theirs, didn't they? But still not a lot. And then Aston Martin, I think, they haven't done anything. Theirs looked horrendous, which we'll get into in just a moment. But, yeah, Pierre Gasly, though, and Yuki Tsunoda then, Jamie. Obviously, talking about the two drivers, this is very much a season where you think both of them are safe as long as they deliver, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, Gasly kind of is there as, like, a stopgap until he finds something better to do, I feel like. Because, obviously, he's never going to be able to consistently fight at the front in an AlphaTauri. So he's kind of clearly a very capable driver, easily good enough for a place on the grid. Probably too good for the AlphaTauri, but there's no available better seats, so there's no point jumping ship right now. So, and they're quite happy with him, obviously. So...
And he's happy there.
Yeah, and he's happy there as well. So as long as they keep, like, I'm hoping for his sake they're not like a backmarker team this year because that'd be a real shame. But yeah, he's sort of definitely safe where he is for as long as he needs to be there. But obviously, for the progression of his career, he probably will move on at some point, or you'd hope so anyway.
Yes, yeah. I think probably the best way to describe AlphaTauri, isn't it? Currently, is probably time is ticking for the pair of them, but at completely opposite ends of the spectrum. It feels like. Because obviously, Gasly had a stellar season last year. I mean, there were so many very, very good qualifying sessions. Obviously, AlphaTauri didn't always have the best race car, to be fair. He seemed to get it dialed in over one lap and then often would sort of fall behind McLaren and Ferrari over a race.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they always had two cars that could use to undercut him and all this, that and the other. Whilst he really, everyone says Tsunoda came on strong towards the end of the year, but he just had,
he had one good race,
and that was Abu Dhabi. I mean, there was so much hype behind him for, let's be honest, not really a whole lot of reasons.
Not doing very much. We'll say that a bit quietly, I think.
Yes.
I think if he can carry, like, obviously, young drivers, especially when they've lost their confidence, which Tsunoda absolutely did in the mid-season, one good race can revitalize a career or like at least get your confidence so highly back. So hopefully he can carry that momentum from Abu Dhabi into this season. He kind of needs to be at least matching Gasly on a regular basis. I think he'll probably do well to beat him in that team with the experience that Gasly has, but he's got to be at least like measuring up to him, which
when you're
5 foot two is quite difficult.
Yeah, I think, though, for Tsunoda as well, and I think for a lot of the F1 paddock, I think people now really appreciate Gasly is the real deal again, which is very, very difficult to prove after a year that he, well, the 6 months he had at Red Bull.
Yeah.
But even if Tsunoda's close to him, I think, next year, obviously, if it does mean Gasly moves away from the team, I don't think there would then be that huge uncertainty about keeping Tsunoda, because, of course... Red Bull have got a lot of juniors waiting in the wings.
Yes.
You know, we've spoke about the hype train many times before on the channel. Liam Lawson as well is like another one we're going to be watching very, very closely in F2 this year. There is plenty of talent that is really sort of waiting for Tsunoda's seat to become available, or Gasly's, depending on what happens.
And the way that AlphaTauri Toro Rosso have always worked, if you have an F2 driver who gets enough super license points, or definitely if they win the title and obviously can't race again the year after, they will be put in that seat generally.
Because
if Lawson or Hauger can, I think it's more likely to be Hauger, as we said before, but if either of them win the championship or even get top three, they'll be very quick to probably bin off Tsunoda unless Gasly finds some other seat.
Yes, yeah, and I think this was kind of the odd thing, wasn't it, with Yuki last year, was obviously he had such a rise through the ranks, you know, one season in F3, one season in F2, and they got bumped up straight to Formula 1.
Yeah.
And although obviously he did very, very well in F2, you know, I think he was the highest scorer if you just count feature races last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Or something mad like that. Or sorry, the year before even.
2020 it would have been now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it still weirdly kind of felt like he not lucked into P3 as such, but where the F2 grid that year was quite weak, in all honesty, you know. Yeah. Schumacher and Callum Ilott were obviously very, very strong, but we didn't sort of have, you know, that Oscar Piastri of the series, or that Dennis Hauger that we saw in F3 last year, or the Charles Leclerc, this sort of thing. It kind of felt like he'd sort of found himself in P3 at the end of the year, and Red Bull kind of expected him then to move up and immediately just swim at AlphaTauri, which Bahrain he did, and then it took him the entirety of the rest of the year to get back to the Middle East, and then he did once more in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is inexperience, because he's had such a short single-seat career so far.
Yes.
That, like, the tracks he'd been to before, like Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, that was basically it. The places he'd been in F2, like, that were, again, on the calendar, those tracks he generally was stronger at. So, like, he was going to a lot of tracks last year, having never done a lap in real life. So, yeah, when you're, like, 21, I guess it's kind of forgivable, but the second time or third time you've been to the track, you've kind of got to be stepping it up quite quickly, which hopefully he'll do this season.
Yeah, and obviously at the end of the day, he's a Formula One driver. He's got to adapt quite quickly.
Exactly.
Especially with the way the sport's heading, where they want to try and go to different tracks more and more often. That is going to become very, very important, that you've got to be able to jump to a new track and adapt. But then, Jamie, let's dive into bold predictions for AlphaTauri in 2022.
I feel like I've been so negative about AlphaTauri all pre-season so far.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Because we kind of look back historically through major rule changes. AlphaTauri don't generally do particularly well first season, do they?
Well, we've said it before. They're the only team on the grid that
is designed not to win.
To try and not win, basically.
Yeah.
So, in that sense, you can see why, almost. I think I'd back Gasly for one podium.
Right,
the same
okay.
as he got last year.
Yeah.
I think that'll be it in terms of podiums. I'd be surprised if he's mixing it in the top four so often in qualifying.
Well,
like
he's come out and, yeah, he's come out and said today he wants to be fighting for top fives week in, week out next year. Maybe more.
But of course you're going to say that. Every team's going to say that. So, yeah. I'm sure he'll be confident, and they may have delivered. Like, the team is capable. We've seen the last 2 years they've given very strong cars to their drivers, so hopefully they have again. But it's going to be so competitive this year that I don't see them being able to fight towards the front, unfortunately. But I'll still give him a podium, and I would say, do I go big? I'll go, yeah, why not, Hauger Lawson 2023.
Interesting.
They're
very,
both getting top
very
three
interesting.
In F2.
Right, okay. I am going to say then, my bold prediction is Gasly's going to leave AlphaTauri before the end of the year.
Ooh, do a Carlos Sainz.
I think he's going to do a Carlos
That's
Sainz.
Very plausible.
I think we're going to see, yeah, going along from what you just said, that I think we're going to see a Hauger hype train, F2. We are hyping Hauger up so much in Formula 2 on this podcast. But I think we're going to see, Gasly move up to a different team and Hauger get pushed into F1 for the last couple of races of the year. If
That'd
he's picked up the super license points.
Can you get... I guess he's won F3, didn't he? So that basically sorts it out. I was going to say, because you only get super license points at the end of a season, don't you?
At the end of the season, yeah. Yeah.
And F2 will finish the same weekend as F1.
Yeah, so maybe... Does Lawson have enough super license points?
I'm not sure. He finished, top 10, I think, last year?
Yeah. You'd probably be able to get a waiver, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If it came to it, I'm sure
especially
they would.
If you're
obviously
on
if someone's that strong in F2, So yeah, my bold prediction then is Gasly's gonna not race for them every race next year. I don't think we're gonna see a podium or a pole position from AlphaTauri next year. And I think they're gonna be not particularly great.
Yeah, I think I, in our very early constructors, I think I put them 8th.
Yes, yeah, you did. I think I put them 7th or 8th.
So we're not confident for them, but hopefully we're wrong.
Yes, yeah. It's always, and the thing is, again, with AlphaTauri, isn't it? Is you just want them to have a car capable of fighting, because, of course, Red Bull are interested with how they deal with other cars as well.
Yeah, and there's no point in being 20 seconds off the pace.
Yeah, I mean, that would be banned, but still.
Well, that's why I mean, in the race, but yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Anything else, though? Oh, livery ranking then, Jamie. Oh, yeah. Out of 10, what are we saying? AlphaTauri.
I've messed up my scaling big time.
You have.
I'd go a 7. I don't think it's great.
7?
I like it.
I'm going to go an 8.5. It's ranking just above the Aston Martin for me.
Fair.
I've got to be honest. I'm loving this thing, and especially the renders they've done around... I don't know. Well, it must be Faye Kimmeler. I'm liking this thing. Fair. I'm looking forward to seeing it real Imola down the line. If they ever release tickets for it.
Are you trying to get tickets for that?
Yeah, we're still trying. They
I'm
still
off to Belgium.
Revealed.
I can't remember if I said that on the podcast yet.
Well, hopefully as well, we're really considering Singapore.
Oh, that'd be sick. I'd love to go to Singapore.
We've sort of, it's always been one that my dad and I are there. Like, we desperately want to try Singapore at some point. But we'll wait and see about that. Anyway, Jamie, circling away then from the AlphaTauri and into more of the normal sort of weekly roundup, we've got a few other bits and pieces to get through, haven't we, today? First of all, then, I guess we should probably sort of smash this one out of the way. After last week's podcast, Williams revealed their livery date, the final one that we needed. That's tomorrow. So at the time of recording this, there's going to be another podcast out the day after you guys are listening to this, where we talk about Williams for 2022. Of course, they've also announced today that they've got a new sponsorship deal, a multi-year contract with Duracell, which is interesting.
Yeah, this is a very weird one. Like, you don't get mainstream brands sponsoring F1 teams that often.
I wouldn't say so. Coca-Cola sponsor McLaren.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Yeah, it probably happens more than I think. But
it depends on what you count as mainstream, doesn't it?
Yeah. In my mind, I always picture an F1 car with loads of random logos. I don't have a clue where they are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what a Flexbox is.
No, exactly. To see Duracell on the side would be quite funny. And obviously, they're going to be powering the ERS this year, so... Oh, we'll have to wait and see about that one.
I'm Googling Flexbox.
Oh,
no. I think it's some coding software.
Nice.
Which I'm not quite sure is exactly what it should be.
No,
it is a racing team as well, not just some coding software. Fair. But yeah, I mean, Williams though, Jamie, like we said, we'll kind of talk about them more tomorrow, won't we?
Yeah.
And then hopefully, you know, we'll sort of have a look. I mean, P5 this year is going to be big by then.
That's an absolute joke.
In my wildest prediction, that's definitely going to come back to bite me come the end of the year. Probably the biggest news then of the week, though, Lando Norris has signed long-term at McLaren.
Yeah, 2026, was it?
2025.
2025, okay. So, yeah, he's in for the long haul. I think... the way he's got it set at the minute, it was kind of expected. But then big teams were sniffing around him. He unveiled, I'd imagine.
This is why Lando's done this very, very cleverly.
Yeah, definitely. Because Mercedes and Red Bull obviously probably showed interest. He had a little unserious chat with them, and then immediately he can go to McLaren with leverage and be like, give me more money.
Exactly. And I think we did briefly mention this last week towards the end of one podcast somewhere.
I think it was in the McLaren one, yeah.
Yes, yeah, must have been. Obviously... yeah, Lando Norris, he'll have a team around him that does all this anyway, but he knows how to play the business side of things. He knows how to do the social media, he knows how to do the business. He is a very, very valuable asset to basically any Formula One team, not only whilst he's there, but also once he's retired. He's like a modern Jenson Button,
isn't he?
I was literally about to say the same thing. Genuinely, he is, like Jenson Button in that regard. But, interesting to see, because... doing that right before a rule change at a team like McLaren, you know, I think we're drawing a lot of parallels, aren't we, to Charles Leclerc's contract at Ferrari. Yeah. Ferrari obviously are a juggernaut of the sport, and McLaren always used to be, but we don't get the sense that McLaren can have the same sort of revamp in the way you always believe Ferrari can.
Yeah, they're a weird one, McLaren, because they can just go off the boil for, like, decades almost. Like...
I mean, I don't think we've ever seen a drought like this before by them. But then we've never seen Mercedes back in the sport. And that's the problem.
Their last constructors was 1999. So that's my whole lifetime ago.
1998, Jamie. 1999.
Oh, yeah, Ferrari won, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, mental. So it's very brave. He obviously has a lot of faith in the team. They have a lot of faith in him. He's probably getting a nice paycheck out of it.
He must be, mate. I mean, he must have gone to him. You're paying that Australian that money.
You look at the points last season. Give
exactly.
Me more.
Exactly. So, if Ricardo's worth 25 million a year, Lando's probably worth about 80 based on last season alone.
Yeah, so it'll be hopefully for his sake, they do give him a car capable of the championship within the next 3 or 4 years. We'll have to wait and see about that. But yeah, it's good news all round, I think. Unless they do absolutely have a shocker and they're suddenly he's in for the long haul with a team that's flying at the back. But with McLaren, they're very high pedigree, obviously. You'd be surprised if that happens, especially with the Mercedes power unit.
Yes, yeah. Plus, let's be fair, if they were that bad, I'm sure if he's still playing at the same level another team's going to buy that out. Yeah, and I mean, it's good for McLaren as well. You know, sort of it gives them a bit of a long-term focus now. I think if Ricciardo can bring it back next year, we could see a lot. You know, quite possible. I mean, this is always the odd thing, isn't it? We spoke about Sainz and Lando at McLaren and sort of said this could be a lineup that's there for 5-6 years. Mm. And then that was gone after two because Carlos Sainz likes to move teams like he's going around the colour wheel. But yeah, we could see Lando kicking around for Lando and Ricciardo kicking around at McLaren for a few years. I mean, we're going to see Lando there.
We could
see Ricciardo there as well.
Ricciardo does need to improve, I think, because...
Could we see him go into a number two role?
Potentially, but then you don't pay your number two the amount they're paying him.
But you won't pay him that after next year anyway.
Yeah.
Unless he
and do you think
really
he'd sign a contract
back.
To be a number two? I'm not sure.
I don't think he'd sign a contract to be a number two, but I think he could kind of appreciate that. Might be. I mean, let's be fair, which other teams could he go to? Because he still wants to have a car to fight for wins.
Yeah,
we have said that before, haven't we?
And
you know,
I could see
Gasly like that cash money.
He'd be really cheap.
That's also very... This is how we sort of spoke about it before, isn't it? Yeah. That Gasly to McLaren could be the key. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
A lot of speculation for February before the season starts.
Yeah, exactly, so. Exactly. Ricciardo could finish the year world champion and call it a day, for all we know. But, yeah, we've got... Obviously, yeah, Williams announcing their reveal date and then a couple of extra sponsors. Lando's extension at McLaren. Aston Martin have taken their car. And actually we got our first sort of running of 2022. And what on earth was up with that ride height?
Oh, the ride height looked so bad, didn't it?
It's like they put 7.3 suspension on the car.
Yeah, you could basically fit another car underneath the front wing.
Yeah. It was... Yeah, I mean, if you had a head-on collision with another Formula One car, you would have ramped off it.
Yeah, it was... I hope it's not like that in the season, to be honest. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see about that. But... It took the shine off the livery a bit for me. I don't know. It just didn't look very good on track.
Yeah, it really did, unfortunately. But, yeah, again, whether that's just their experiment. I mean, let's be fair. For all we know, it could have just been they're trying to test the Venturi tunnels by pushing as much air under the wing as they possibly could.
Yeah.
You just don't know. But, I mean, it's a photo shoot day. You don't want the car to look like that on a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it has a huge bottom lip.
Yeah. It didn't look very appealing.
No.
Put it that way.
No, exactly. But yeah, hopefully obviously we'll get to see a bit more media shoots from other teams as well, obviously over the coming weeks, which will be very, very exciting.
The first behind closed doors testing is next week, is it not?
Yes. Yeah, next week now. End of next week.
We'll
9 days away
at
the start
of
recording.
Photos from that, although no live video, obviously, if we've covered.
I'm still half tempted to go down there and with my drone.
You're off work, aren't you, that week?
I'm off work next week.
There you go. Get yourself to Barcelona, sorted.
With my drone, and just fly it above the... I mean, the batteries only last about half an hour. So
and you get arrested. But
I'm going to have to buy about 8 batteries. Will I get arrested?
I think so. It's probably protected airspace over an F1 track.
Would it be?
I'd imagine
so. I mean, Paul Ricard's basically built by an airport.
Yeah. And there's one road in and out of it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I might have to Google that.
Exclusive Matt 212 testing footage coming soon.
Exactly, yeah. Knowing wheel from my prison cell in a Spanish prison. That'll be fun down the line. Bahrain, though, Jamie. A huge contract extension.
Yeah, that's probably... I think it's the longest I've ever seen.
Yeah, 14 more years. 2036.
Yeah. I'll literally be middle-aged by then. That's so depressing.
It's worrying, isn't it? I think we're going to be on like podcast 400 by then. No, even more than that.
Way more than that.
We're going to be on, like, podcast 800 by then.
Yeah.
Do we still think we're going to be doing this podcast in our
mid-30s? Hopefully not. If my life is still... When I'm 36, if I'm still recording weekly podcasts, I'll be quite upset, but we'll have to wait and see.
We might be, you know, we might be doing well, mate, I reckon.
We might be working for F1.
Yeah, we might be trackside, yeah, with a bit of luck. With a bit of luck. You know, FOM, hit us up, get us involved, we're down. Weekly podcast on the show, following the tour. We'd love that. I'd tell you what, that'd be great.
That'll be like, that'll be what, 32 years that we've been at Bahrain?
Yes.
By the end of this contract.
33 seasons.
Which is pretty mad.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to see if they changed up the layout a little bit, but then I'm worried that Bahrain produces brilliant races quite often.
Yeah, I think it's a good... It's proven many times that the actual proper layout is very good. They obviously tried different in 2010 and in 2020, but 2020 was good because it was chaos, not really because of the track, I don't think.
No, no. It was an interesting experiment, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And obviously that season didn't really matter that much because it was already sorted about 2 months before.
Yes. Yeah. So and about round three of the year.
Yeah.
Just trying to think though, Jamie. Does this potentially mean that Bahrain has signed an exclusivity deal for first race of the year as well?
It wouldn't surprise me. We've seen last 3 years now, wasn't it? Austria was around one in 2020, wasn't it?
Yes.
But
yeah.
The last 2 years, 2021 and 2022, have both been at Bahrain for the first race. I think it's a very good spectacle. It's obviously a much more friendly time zone than having Australia as the first race for the world generally.
Yeah, so, that's very true.
Like, in terms of F1 wanting a good start to the season and one that people can watch, like, accessibility is obviously really important. So I think it makes sense for all parties, really, apart from Melbourne. But yeah, unlucky.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's be fair, nothing in Formula 1 is really geared towards the Australians nowadays.
No.
When it comes to timing. Speaking of timing, though, Jamie, last little piece of news.
Smooth.
We've got all the confirmed race start times for 2022. Obviously,
yes.
COVID pending.
Yeah. Still waiting for them to release their calendar onto Google, I should say, so I can sync it up with my actual diary. But
yeah, very, very true.
Exciting times.
I'm looking through. There's going to be a couple there. Australia, 5 a.m. UK. We'll be 6 a.m.
No,
it's UTC, which we go forward an hour before then. So it'll be 6 a.m. UK time.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think that's the Sunday of the month I often have to work from 6 a.m. So
that's
not
so
going to be a vibe. I'm looking at that. Miami, half 7 at night. Half 8 at night, that'll be. That'll be a late night Formula 1 race.
Basically at 2 as usual.
Yep. I want a Formula 1 race, Jamie, on a Saturday night.
Well, that won't happen for the foreseeable future.
I mean, sprint races.
Well, yeah, that's as close as you're going to get, I think. The Grand Prix will be on Sunday for as long as this management is in place.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. But I don't know, I just feel like a Saturday night race would be such a vibe.
It would be.
A bit like Friday night qualifying was a couple of times
Friday
last
night,
season.
I actually love Friday night quali.
Night quali worked, man. Like everyone banged on about sprint races didn't work, but Friday night quali, when the weather was good, was such a vibe. It was a wonderful time to be alive. And we still don't know whether sprint races are coming back next year.
No updates.
Japan again. Carry on.
I was going to say, so I'm very looking forward to having early morning races again for some reason. The last time we had one was Japan 2019, which was October 2019. So yeah, I don't know what it is. I really enjoy ruining my sleep schedule and getting up at 5 a.m. for an F1 race.
Well, I'm just thinking now, 5 a.m. for me is the time I get up most days, hence why I was up tired on this podcast. 5 a.m. for me will just be, like I said, I've got to be at work probably for when the Australian Grand Prix starts. I might have to put that Sunday off.
Yeah, do it now. We've got a bit of time in hand still.
Yeah, yeah. I might be able to just not work.
Round three, April 10th, that would be what? 2.5 years, basically, since the last time we had an early F1 race.
Yeah.
So, exciting times.
It is.
Get the alarm set already.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously, fingers crossed they're going to add these to our calendar soon. I've already got the Formula E one on mine. I need F1 as well. I mean, there needs to just be an app or a website that just does all of them for you for a load of different series. But maybe that's our new Kickstarter.
That's a little side
for
hustle
2022.
For you, yeah.
That definitely seems, yeah, there's potential there.
Get yourself in Dragon's Den.
Get myself in Dragon's Den. Hi, yeah, Peter Jones, I want 15 quid.
I've made a really simple code. Can you pay me money now, please?
Exactly, plus money. anything else, though, to add, Jay, before we round this one off? We kind of had a load of little bits and pieces to get through, haven't we, this week? And then, of course, the Alvatari launch. I don't think there's really much else to add this week, is there?
No, it's been pretty slow. Obviously, we had all of the reveals, but we've talked about them in themselves. So if you missed those and want to go and check them out,
yes, yeah,
go
obviously,
ahead and watch them.
We'll go back at the end and obviously do a ranking and things like that. Obviously, it's a bit of a pain that Alfa Romeo aren't releasing theirs still basically next year, it feels like.
Yeah.
But obviously, like we said, we're going to be back tomorrow with the Williams reveal. And then, of course, we've probably got two of the really big ones, don't we? Thursday, Friday, we've got Ferrari and Mercedes. So yeah. Very, very excited for those.
I think Ferrari's going to be good this year. I don't know. I just get the feeling.
We're just on that. We're on that Helga hype train. We're on the Ferrari fight back freight train as well. It's going to be an interesting year of probably disappointment for the pair of us when neither yeah. deliver. The Knowing Wheel podcast, we finally agree on something and it turns out to be wrong.
Yeah.
Again, though, like we mentioned at the start, a massive thank you to Manscaped for obviously helping support the channel. You know, if you want to go check some of the stuff out, we'll leave links down below. Like we said, use code WHEEL for 20% off on Manscaped and also free shipping anywhere around the world. But